for like a week and a half, and it was just finals prep, finals ready, and then you're out for another month.
Yeah, you had like that one, that big breath of fresh air, and then it's all of a sudden back to chaos. And I feel like even as an adult, it's kind of like that too, mm-hmm. because most people are just so busy during the month of December. Right. I basically have plans every weekend for the month of December moving forward.
Yeah, booked. Don't ask me for anything. Unless you're special to me, then I'll make an arrangement. But and unless it's not, then you know exactly where I'm going to be.
My month of December is like a doctor's office. You got to book this like weeks in advance.
Look at you getting busy in the world. Adulting is what some people like to say. But no, welcome back into the world of sports. I know a lot of people have been out for the Thursday, the Friday. We're back here on a Sunday. We're here until noon. We'll get you prepped up for what is Chiefs and Raiders in Vegas at 3:25. Depending on where Jay Binkley is, we might have him join us as we always do on Sunday. I'm sure he'll be up here a little bit later. But what a beautiful day, man. What a beautiful day. I'm feeling positivity today. I'm feeling a lot of good stuff for some fantasy owners out there today. You got a nice, I mean, we went from Thanksgiving to just like full-ass winter.
We did, yeah. Like, we didn't, I mean, and it's not even like a light snow either. It's heavy.
Right. I mean, it was fun to watch. You know, yesterday I got up a little early. We'll get into this in after hours. I'll pump the brakes there. But some notes today in the fantasy world of where you can lead for trust. This little nugget out this morning, Texas rookie quarterback C.J. Stroud just needs 263 passing yards today against the Jags to surpass Justin Herbert for the most passing yards by a rookie in his first 11 games. I definitely see that going over as the battle of the AFC South is on today. No, it is not my all juice weekend. But speaking of starting quarterbacks, let's try to like get out of this mold, because the NFL is hoping to avoid this being the fifth straight week that a starting quarterback has suffered a season-ending injury. Kirk Cousins ruptured his Achilles in week 8. Daniel Jones is ACL in week 9. Deshaun Watson fractured his shoulder in week 10. Joe Burrow, obviously the hand injury and tore a wrist ligament in week 11. We are now into week 12 as Jake Browning is the starter for the Cincinnati Bengals. We'll get more into that. Max Crosby for the Vegas Raiders is trying to, or will at least attempt to, play in the game today against the Chiefs. We'll get into that a little bit more. But as we do every single week, we want to dive into those matchups to start your day. Well, not a whole lot on Sunday because we've already had four games, but let's dive into some matchups, Quentin. I need to get this show started off with giving thanks to all of you that listen to this, all of you that seek out information. 913-586-7610. That is the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. So at the end of the show, towards the last segment, we'll get into all of your questions. I'll do my best to get to all of them. If you have any questions regarding today's games, there's a lot of interesting matchups, some divisional matchups all around the board. There's some late action. There's some weather action we'll get into as well to kind of help you guide that way. But 913-586-7610. I also want to apologize as we before we start this first game. I need to apologize to a lot of people because I got it wrong last week. And you know me, I'll always admit when I'm wrong. At least I try to. I'm sorry for those of you that took to heart what I said about Calvin Ridley. I did it myself. I drafted Calvin Ridley late in a second-round pick this year, thinking he was going to be that guy. Well, last week, he did it, man. And for all the marbles game this week, it's Jacksonville at Houston, right? That game's played in a dome. There's a lot of weather affecting other games. I'll explain that here in a little bit before I go to break as we split these sort of a minute schedule of a Saturday or of a Sunday here, but it's interesting. Can Trevor Lawrence repeat the same success he had last week? He had 262 yards passing, 2 passing touchdowns, and he found Calvin Ridley 7 times for 103 yards, and Ridley was responsible for both of those touchdowns. Calvin Ridley, who last week I said was borderline wide receiver 3 and possibly due for a benching. I did it. I don't know how many of you people listened to me, probably not a whole lot, but I did it. And I sat there, head in my hand, whatever you want to call it, just thinking to myself, why did I do this? And the reason I think that we can have some light to it is that Field Yates had a very interesting tweet about Calvin Ridley and why he was successful. Because Calvin Ridley, when he plays alongside Zay Jones, who was healthy last week, had 4 catches, I believe, for 60 yards, But Cal Ridley in three games, Zay Jones playing alongside of him, has had 8 catches, 101 yards, and a touchdown. 7 catches, 122 yards, no touchdowns. 7 catches, 102 yards, and 2 touchdowns. In 7 games without Zay Jones, Calvin Ridley has had under 15 fantasy points, 1 total touchdown, and just 1 game over 40 yards receiving. It seems the key to Calvin Ridley to watch him and his production with Trevor Lawrence is Zay Jones playing? I know he's got Evan Ingram. I know he's got Christian Kirk, Travis Etienne as well. But as long as Zay Jones is out there, then Cal Ridley will eat. Like we said, 8 catches, 101, 7 catches, 122, 7 catches, 102, the 3 games with him. Without him in the 7 games, under 15 fantasy points. So we would assume that we have found the answer to when Ridley is there. Houston will give up yards receiving, 241 in the air on average a game. So, you know, that's what they do. They give up 241 a game on average. So I can see Jacksonville really trying to get things going like they did last week versus Tennessee, where they incorporated Calvin Ridley early, got the passing game going early, and Trevor Lawrence looked a lot more comfortable back there than he did the whole previous start of the year, where he had 9 touchdowns and 6 interceptions last week, 2 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, and threw it for 262. Travis Etienne, a very interesting story. Early on, we were like, this is the guy. This is who we thought he was going to be last year, coming off the rookie year injury. Now he looks like he's like maybe been the part. But Travis Etienne hasn't broke the century mark since October 8th. And I know a lot of people might think, well, that was just last month. It was October 8th, right? We've already had Thanksgiving and Halloween the last time Travis Etienne has had 100 yards in a game. Although he has had 4 touchdowns in the last 5 weeks, but he has been, you know, kind of minute the past 3 weeks with 0 touchdowns and a high of only 79 yards in those last 5 or in those games since October 8th. Maybe a running back too this week because Houston, I don't know, this game kind of seems like it could be a, you know, somewhat all juice game. It's not. We'll get into that one a little bit later. But with Houston, Dalton Schultz must start, CJ Stroud must start, Tank Dell also a must start, Nico Collins good flex option this week. Like we said, he needs 263 yards. That is the Offensive Rookie of the Year and potential MVP candidate this year for the Houston Texans. As this is a home game, they beat Jacksonville last time they played him. Now, they did have the help of a fullback return for a touchdown on a kick return, which was interesting. But look, it seems like Nico Collins will be a good flex option. He came back last week. He had 7 catches for 65 and seemed to be in top shape. But the connection in Houston is no secret. It is CJ and Tank. They have a connection rolling currently, and it's great to see. Dell the last 3 weeks, 6 catches, 8 catches, 114 yards, 56 yards, and 149 yards, and 4 total touchdowns in those 3 weeks. He's a clear wide receiver, too, and could be a wide receiver one moving forward if that rookie connection between the two in Houston continues to move. As for the running back situation, Houston, steer clear of it. Because Singletary has been great, but Damian Pierce is back off that ankle injury. They say he will play. They will incorporate him into the running mix. But let's all give a thanks to Mr. Singletary in the past few weeks, or the last 2 weeks. For those of you that went out on a limb and got him on a waiver wire pickup and played him in the last 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago he had the 30 for 150, and last week he had 22 for 112. I say steer clear of this backfield because of one reason. If Damian Pierce doesn't get going and it's too late and they have to throw the ball, Devin Singletary won't see any action. But if Damian Pierce also doesn't get it going as well and it's not a shootout, they probably will incorporate Devin Singletary into that backfield, and we will see where that backfield goes moving forward. Singletary seems to be the guy that they need to give the ball to more often. Pierce is the guy they drafted to be the future in the backfield. You've got a cloudy situation. Until it is clear skies, you stay away from what is that backfield in Houston. But again, you love CJ Stroud. You love Tank Dell. Nico Collins, I think, is a great flex option just because of the fact that, you know, he likes to throw the ball. Moving on to one more noon game. We got to go to a break after this one, but it's Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. Now, one thing I do want to remind people of is that there is weather that is out there this time of year, and weather can affect a game. And in the Pittsburgh and Cincinnati game, they are calling for 85% chance of rain, wind at 9 miles per hour, and it's going to be cold. I know a lot of you people will say, spare me, don't care about weather. You should. You should if it's not played in a dome, because it will affect the way the ball is played in that game. But look, this is the Burrow-less Bengals. The Steelers are favored by 2.5. It's in Cincinnati, and Cincinnati are home dogs. Why? Well, that's because Jake Browning's playing. No, T. Higgins is playing. It's Ja'Marr Chase and Tyler Boyd for his options. And again, I think Chase is your only play for Cincinnati. I don't like Joe Mixon, not against that Pittsburgh front four. And if you look at the numbers, Pittsburgh's defense, they do give up yards. They give up rushing yards, total yards, passing yards. But that defensive front will be absolutely nasty against a Cincinnati offensive line that cannot block anybody. And there's a backup quarterback who might be a little bit frantic. But what do I always say about wide receiver ones with backup quarterbacks? Volume, volume, volume. Now, last week, Chase only had 2 catches for 12 yards, but was found in the end zone in garbage time, and the best drive that Jake Browning had moving forward. We'll see where that goes. But Chase has also scored in 3 of the last 4 weeks, but it's up to Jake Browning. Will he give heavy volume to his wide receiver one? Will he have time to throw? Conditions aren't great. Ja'Marr Chase, obviously a must-start every single week because he is a plug-and-play wide receiver one. But don't be disappointed if it doesn't go well. I'm just letting you know ahead of time. As for Pitt, you got to start that defense if you have him on your fantasy roster today. Don't think about it. Just put him in there. Should have a field day against that offensive line and a backup quarterback. We'll see how things go with Deontay Johnson. For those of you that didn't hear, there was an altercation in their locker room after a practice between Deontay Johnson and Micah Fitzpatrick that had to be broken up by Cam Hayward and one TJ Watt. If that's the case, man, you know Mike Tomlin. He's a red ass, and he will probably have some sort of punishment for Deontay Johnson. Or maybe there's some sort of rift in the connection between Pickett and Deontay Johnson, which lets me believe, again, conditions are heavy, but it lets me believe that maybe George Pickens is worth a stream and a flex. Daily, maybe you want a cheap wide receiver that could get a little bit of volume that has a chance to break one deep. I don't know how much I trust into that. I'm about 40% on that daily stream. As for everyday play, I don't think I can start. I don't know if I can start George Pickens today. The one thing that is of note with this Pittsburgh team, it's about the running backs. And it appears that the rookie out of Oklahoma State, Jaylen Warren, is their best running back. He's the best option they've had, but they still lead the ball with carries with Najee Harris on the ground. Cincinnati, listen to me, folks. Cincinnati is 30th in the league versus the run. They're just absolutely horrendous versus the run game. And with conditions today of an 85% chance of rain, cool, 10-mile-per-hour winds, it looks like they're going to try to get something going with this two-headed monster, but I feel they're leaning towards Jaylen Warren to be the guy. I love Jaylen Warren this week, and I think he should be a high flex option or a running back two option in this slot every week moving forward because of what we've seen the last few weeks. Last week, he had 9 carries for 129 yards and a touchdown, and 2 weeks ago, he had 15 for 101 and a touchdown. He's also second on the team in receptions with 34. That's only behind George Pickens, who leads the team with 37. So it appears that Jaylen Warren is the guy. More volume for him, more success against a team that cannot stop the run, against a team that will more than likely turn the ball over at least 2 times today. Give Jaylen Warren your shot. Stop putting him on your bench. Don't worry about Najee Harris. Najee Harris, I'm not worried about taking time away from Jaylen Warren because of the explosiveness and the numbers that tend to believe that they're leaning for him to kind of take the role as their lead back in the backfield for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are favored by 2.5 on the road to Cincinnati in a cool environment today in the jungle. We'll come back on the other side and get into the other half of the noon games. We'll then go into 3 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and Monday Night Football. Plus, we'll hit heavy on that Chiefs Raiders game because there are 2 wide receivers out for the Kansas City Chiefs. What's that mean? It means a lot for the tight end that needs a big recovery game. I'm Dusty Likens. That's Quentin. You're listening to Fantasy Football Sunday, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Each drinks scenic views. This is 610sportsradio.com. Sunday show brought to you by Twin Peaks Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views here on 610 Sports Radio. For those of you wondering about weather, Carolina at Tennessee, 15% chance of rain, wind 10 miles per hour, stay away. New England at the New York Giants, 15% chance of rain. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati, rain all day, 85%. And then Buffalo at Philly, 79% chance of rain with some wind in that one. All the other games played in domes today, but let's continue to go down this news. Here on 610 Sports Radio, Dusty Likens with you, Quentin as well. Next game on our slate is Carolina at Tennessee. We just lightly mentioned that. -3.5 for the Tennessee Titans as they play the, surging but slowly depleting Carolina Panthers. It hasn't worked for Bryce Young. It hasn't worked for Frank Reich. A lot of rumors that are starting to get a little bit more smoke to the campfire that maybe this is it for Frank Reich. I don't know. They're 1-9. It hadn't worked out. There's been some words exchanged. Might be the worst game of the day as well when it comes to these two teams. I want nothing to do with it. I don't care that Tennessee's favored by 3.5 at home. Right? Might be the worst game of the day. As for Carolina, I think Adam Thielen is your only go for me. I think Adam Thielen has been a great wide receiver too this year, and it's true like the North Star in PPR leagues for his production. He has 76 catches. The next closest guy on this team in receptions, 26. He has 50 more receptions than any other person on this team for Carolina. The volume is there. The production is there. And it's just, it is what it is with Adam Thielen. He's a target hog. He's going to continue to have those. His last, few weeks, 8 catches, 6 catches, 5, 8, 11, and 11 in the last 2 months. He's a poor man's Cooper Kupp with a very poor man's, team led by what is a lot of chaos in that franchise. You're not starting anyone else on that roster. No running backs, no other wide receivers, no quarterbacks, just Adam Thielen. Plug, play, wide receiver 2, flex option for me. As for Tennessee, I guess you have to trust DeAndre Hopkins gets it going. Last week was okay, pretty decent actually, 4 for 49 with a touchdown, but you'd like to see more of what that game was against Atlanta. Now, I'm not saying he has to have 3 touchdowns, but he did have 4 for 128 and 3 of those touchdowns. But he and Will Levis have to continue to build that trust. Like we've said before, and I continue to hit it into your head, backup quarterbacks, wide receiver 1s, they're going to find them. They're going to try to at least send volume their way. It's up to them to kind of figure it out if they can get a little bit more of clarity in that relationship. Look, we're just looking for DeAndre Hopkins to do what he did last week. 4 for 60 and a possibility of a touchdown. That's perfect, right? That's a 16-point week in every single format of full-point PPR. You are taking that and not complaining one bit. As it goes for Derrick Henry, I don't know, man. I feel like there's a lot of load management with Derrick Henry. But again, Tennessee's not going anywhere. He is getting older. The run game cannot be trusted. But Will Levis, you hope that he can get things going. Somewhat tough, though, versus a quiet, slightly good secondary against Carolina as they allow 179 yards a game. That's 5th best in the league when it comes to wide receiver numbers going against that quietly sneaky good defense in Carolina. But again, that's a boring game. Stay away from it. This next game, a lot of questions, right? New Orleans at Atlanta. New Orleans is a 2-point favorite on the road in the dome. But this is tough for me because I feel like on my roster this week, I've got to bench Bijan Robinson. And I get it. What are you doing? That's crazy. Well, I already had a guy like Raheem Mostert, who I think we can all agree we would play over Bijan Robinson. I also have a guy in Jaylen Warren, who I mentioned earlier against Cincinnati. I really like his matchup. 30th ranked defense against the run with Cincinnati. Probably going to have a few turnovers on the field to give him more volume shares and more time to get going as he has the last 2 weeks. Atlanta is coming off a bye. And I just don't trust old boy at their head coach position. Off the bye saying, we need to continue to get him into the mix more often when referencing Bijan Robinson. I'm a wait and see guy because the time of the season that it is, it's playoff push time, baby. You got about 2-3 weeks, depending on your league, maybe some have 4, I don't know, where it really gets, you got to get it right this time of the year. And last game they played, they did incorporate Bijan Robinson a little bit more. He had 22 carries, 95 yards, and a touchdown. But the previous weeks on 11 carries, both games, he's their best player. I just don't trust them to do it. When you think that they finally figured it out, they throw you a curveball in Atlanta. Plus, New Orleans' defense is pretty solid against the run. They're 3rd best in fantasy ranks against running backs. but just keep feeding him the rock. But I'm at a point in my season where I've got to play my for sure matchups. I've got to play the guys that I know will be there. I know Bijan Robinson screams wide receiver one. Dusty, don't worry about it. But again, I feel like Allen Greer will get the carries inside the five like he has all year. I just feel I need more of a one-week thing to be proven to let me feel I can feel right about him being an RB1. Also, can they get Drake London a touchdown? It's been six darn weeks, and he only has one 100-yard receiving yards on the year. This, again, is a tough matchup this week for the Falcons versus Saints defense, and they're sneaky good. As for the Saints, you got to fire up Olave. Michael Thomas is on IR yet again. You should love Alvin Kamara, and you should love Chris Olave this week, but that's all I would go with on this roster. Juwan Johnson, I know, is their tight end. Derek Carr, still out. You look at this team, what they have, or maybe Derek Carr can come back and get this offense rolling. But look, Olave this week and Alvin Kamara I would go with on your roster, but two good pieces in a full-point PPR league. Alvin Kamara, second on the team in receptions. Chris Olave, first. Those are the guys, they pass the ball, they get yardage, and they get tendencies to score touchdowns. But outside of that, I don't know if I'm leaning anywhere else outside of that. But again, John Robinson for me is a wait and see. I get it. His last week before the bye, 11 for 95 and a touchdown. Prove it to me when I'm trying to make that playoff. We move on to more noon games. Bucks at Colts. I kind of like this game. It's in a dome. No real bad, you know, situation here. Bucks at Colts. Colts 2.5-point favorites. Look, the only big news that comes out of this is Rashard White. Rashard White is kind of popped up in a flare on the injury report, as Adam Schefter reports. Buccaneers have added Rashard White to their injury report on Saturday and questionable for Sunday's game only as a matter of precaution. Per source, there is nothing structurally wrong with White's knee. It briefly locked up on Friday, and just to be careful, the Bucs added him to their injury report, but he is playing in the game versus the Colts, and in the words of a source, he's fine, just precautionary. You only get all Cincinnati bangled and not have an injury report, and then he doesn't go. So still fire him up. You have to fire up wide receivers Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Evans with four touchdowns in his last 5 weeks and plenty of targets to go with that. He's been the typical Mike. He averages six catches and 80 yards with a touchdown target in four of his last five games. He's a must play in all formats of any sort of fantasy football roster that you have. Trust in Mike Evans. He's going to get a tight. He's going to get a touchdown target. Chris Godwin, I think you have to play. Baker Mayfield, don't look now. Wait till the show's over. But Baker Mayfield, pretty solid numbers this year as QB1 in Tampa Bay. I don't know how far we can keep going with that, but no weather to worry about in a dome against the Indianapolis Colts team. For me and the Colts, I love me some Michael Pitt Daddy. That's my new name for him. Eight snags each of his last three games. He's gone the past two games without a tutty, but the Chargers this week, but that changes this week, as I think he gets one and at least seven catches. He's a must-play wide receiver too this week and a borderline wide receiver one. Tampa Bay, second worst team versus the pass in the NFL. You want to know how much they give up? You got it right, Quentin. 270 yards a game. So it's a eat day for MPJ, or as I like to call him, Michael Pitt Daddy. I love Michael Pittman in this game when they play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. About the second worst team in football when it comes to the pass. Obviously, the Chargers are the worst. We'll get into them a little bit later. The next game, boy, this might be the worst game of the day. This might be the game where I hopefully Red Zone shows nothing except mistakes, which there will be a lot of. Patriots at Giants. Somehow, with Mac Jones returning to the starting roster, the Patriots are 4-point favorites on the road to New York against Danny DeVito. Mac Jones is a starter, and that's all you need to know for the Patriots. I would not start one individual player, not Ramondre Stevenson, nobody. I don't want anybody from New England. New England is a mess. Their coach is out. The franchise is in shambles. They need a new quarterback. They're going to need a new coach. Robert Kraft is lost with what he's going to do in the future. Even for the Giants, I know a lot of you are screaming, Saquon Barkley. Don't want him either. I don't really like him. Even with him, I don't know if I can see him on a roster. You have to have a better option. He has one touchdown all year and one game over 100 yards and only three games of 90-plus yards, including that 100-yard game I mentioned. Those are Saquon Barkley's numbers. One touchdown, less than 100 yards, every game except one, and no games over 90 outside of the three that I mentioned. You cannot start an individual player on either one of these rosters. I wouldn't even start the defense. You might say to yourself, well, it's backup versus backup. Technically, Mac Jones is a starter, but we get it. Bailey Zappe, Mac Jones, same person. It's a Spider-Man meme where they're both pointing at each other. As for DeVito, you can't trust it. He goes up against a Bill Belichick mind that's still kind of tinkering in the league that he can show that he still has it. But I don't like anybody on any single roster that wraps up the noon games on a Fantasy Football Sunday show here on 610 Sports Radio. Take the Giants +4, right? You can see them winning with like a field goal with no time left. Final score, 10-7. That's my take on that. Coming up on the other side on a Fantasy Football show brought to you by Twin Peaks, each drink, scenic views. We dive into your 3 o'clock games, which means that Chiefs-Raiders game slides right in there. I'll tell you what you need to know about that with two wide receivers missing on that Chiefs roster. Quentin, Dusty, 610 Sports Radio.
Favorite sauce or rub?
Segment when we knock out all the 3 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and Monday night football games, we will get into your questions. 913-586-7610. Happy Sunday, Kansas City, and welcome back to Sports Radio. A 2-day hiatus. The holidays are over, and we are in full blown winter. Beautiful Sunday. It's a winter wonderland out there. Again, we bring you some information that maybe you've missed when it comes to, you know, busy with family, going out and shopping, whatever it is that maybe you've been busy doing. Let's avoid a QB injury this week. We've had 5 straight of QB1s getting hurt. It's made life stressful for all of us. Bengals quarterback Jake Browning will become the 50th different quarterback to start a game this season. It's insane, which is actually down from last year. Through 12 games last season, there were 53 starting quarterbacks through 12 games of the 2021 season. All signs point to Patriots quarterback Mac Jones starting today versus the Giants, but as of Friday, the players still didn't know what was going to be on for their starting quarterback. For those of you that missed the news, Deontay Johnson got into a heated post-game locker room argument last Sunday with teammate Mika Fitzpatrick before Cam Hayward and TJ Watt had to break it up. George Pickens owners look for that. Ravens wide receiver Zay Jones and Odell Beckham Jr., both of whom are listed as questionable for Sunday night, both expected to play versus the Chargers. Speaking of those Chargers, Gerald Everett and Jalen Guyton, both listed as questionable for Sunday night, both trending in the right way to likely play versus the Ravens. We'll get into that a little bit later. Cardinals wide receiver Marquise Brown, listed as questionable for Sunday due to a heel injury, is also expected to play versus the Rams. Texans running back Damian Pierce, we mentioned that earlier, is listed as questionable for Sunday, but due to an ankle injury, he is expected to play versus the Jags. And again, being listed as doubtful for Sunday's game for the Raiders, Max Crosby plans to play against the Kansas City Chiefs and trying to wake up the wrong you-know-what when it comes into that scenario. Let's dive in to what these 3 o'clock games are. And again, if you have any questions at the end, 913-586-7610 on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. I do my best to keep you as positive as possible. Moving forward into 3 o'clock, though, Cleveland at Denver. Denver -2 at home versus a defensive front and defense and secondary that is top of the line. But let's talk a little bit about the most annoying person in the league, Russell Wilson. His last 4 games, he's had 7 touchdowns and 0 interceptions, and he's thrown for over 650-plus yards. He's been pretty sly, but I can't start him this week in a league where there are a lot of quarterbacks out, a lot of streaming options in daily. Maybe you need a plug-and-play real quick for 1 week in a fantasy football season long and during the playoff push. But I cannot start Russell Wilson, even though those numbers are there, versus a Cleveland front 4 headed by Miles. I wear gray sweatpants, and I shouldn't, Garrett. If you don't know what I mean, just type in Miles Garrett gray sweatpants. It'll scare the living hell out of you on a Sunday. Dear Lord, I apologize. I do think it's interesting, though, that Cortland Sutton in 6 consecutive games has a touchdown. 6 consecutive games, Cortland Sutton has found pay dirt. The Cleveland Browns defense, though, is first in total yards allowed, first in passing yards allowed, and 11th versus the run. That's bad news for Javonte Williams. That's bad news for Russell Wilson. Bad news for Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy. I get it. There's no bye weeks, So you've got a full slate of players available. If you can pass or you can miss out on playing Courtland Sutton this week, even though the numbers show that he's scored in six consecutive weeks, it's going to be tough for Denver this week. They're playing a very, very tough defense. And I know they play the Chiefs, but the Chiefs turn the ball over a lot inside, you know, bad yardage situations for a Kansas City defense. The Raiders put up 24, or the Broncos put up 24. But again, this is a team that's led by Myles Garrett, who will absolutely win, I believe, Defensive Player of the Year and be a completely destructive piece for that Denver offensive line. I probably wouldn't start Javonte Williams. I probably wouldn't start Courtland Sutton. But due to the resume, it might lean at the last minute to be like, eh. Maybe I have to put him in there for a chance at a touchdown in a seventh consecutive week. As for Cleveland, you have to start their defense this week. I know Russell Wilson the last few weeks has been decent, 7 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. But again, this Cleveland defense is different. The number one secondary, to me, one of the best, if not the best, front four in the NFL. But again, I probably start Ford. I probably start Kareem Hunt. The Broncos are dead last in the run defensive category, giving up 160 on the ground. They give up 414 yards a week. So again, I like Amari Cooper, I like Ford, I like Kareem Hunt against this Denver defense that's probably going to have the ball in their face more often than not, because this Cleveland defense is going to force turnovers, quick three and outs, and Russell Wilson will be running for his life when it comes to that defensive front. +2 for the Browns this game. I like Cleveland as a 2-point two-point dog on the road in Denver when it comes to the 3 o'clock slate. Seriously, go look at that picture of Myles Garrett in gray sweatpants. My God. Rams at Arizona. This matchup's kind of sneakily, it's not really a word, but it's sneaky interesting to me. Cooper Kupp's probably going to play. How effective he's going to be, I don't know. Puka Nacua, he's great to go with the shoulder. I trust Puka this week more than I trust Cooper Kupp, because Kupp was questionable all week, likely to play, but he had that ankle injury, whereas Puka Nacua had the shoulder hiccup. But then Thursday, Friday, practiced full. Had no report, has no injury designation, for this game. But I do kind of trust Puka Nacua as a full go over Cooper Kupp. Obviously, you're playing them first, or you're playing them often and always. Cooper Kupp, Nacua, they've been great together as a 1-2 tandem. Maybe outside of Waddle and Hill, could be the top two wide receiver duos in the league. Kyren Williams is good to go for me as well this week, because the last time he played the Arizona team, I'll give you those numbers, but this Arizona team gives up 132 yards a week and 370 total, so it should be a good day for Maddie and the boys, even more so after the last time when Kyren Williams played against this Arizona team. The last time he was healthy, he had 20 carries, 158 yards, and a touchdown versus this Arizona team. But then, that was October 15th. Good to go today. Back on the roster. Look for them to get him started early and then start firing outside to 17-10. That's what Matty Stafford needs to do. As for Arizona, don't look now. But I tried to tell you a couple weeks ago in the waiver wire area before he was fully back to pick up Kyler Murray. I tried to tell you that. I'll pat myself on the back, and that's all I'll do. I like Kyler Murray. I've liked what I've seen so far in most full PPR leagues. He's had 17 points and 22 points the last 2 weeks. And he looks to be getting it back with the legs too. He does have a pick in both of those games. It is what it is. He's going to fire it. But again, his first week back, he ran for 33 yards. And the last week, he ran for 55 yards. So he seems to be a full go with the injury that he's recovered from. He's going to be a hit or miss, a boom or bust every single week. But he hasn't busted in 2 weeks. Whether he's boomed, I don't know. But he's given you a little bit of surprise there with 17 points and 22 points the last 2 weeks in fantasy football. The Rams will also give up 350 yards a game, 117 of those on average on the ground. So look for he and James Conner to really set the tone on the ground. Look, I like Turk a lot too as his tight end. Kyler's found him, 13 receptions, 174 yards in those 2 games that Kyler Murray has been back. Hollywood Brown looks to be back with that heel injury. That's always a big target for Kyler Murray, and Rondell Moore as well. I like this game today. Sneaky good. I think there's a lot of offense to be played. The Rams are 3-point home favorites. Back in the day, that just meant you're a push game. That's a pick 'em. I like the Rams. I like Arizona. I'm sorry. The Rams are 3-point favorites on the road. They'll play in Scottsdale, Glendale, wherever you want to call it, some sort of Dale. But the Rams, 3-point favorites. I like the over in this game with some offense being produced between these two games. The big one at 325, it's local. It's Raiders, it's Chiefs. Davante Adams, I don't like him this week. I'm dead serious. No wide receiver one has been productive against a Chiefs secondary this year because L'Jarius Sneed has been a dog. A.J. Brown, nada. Tyreek Hill, nothing. Justin Jefferson, nothing. Amon-Ra St. Brown, not great, right? All these wide receiver ones, Keenan Allen, 55 yards. A.J. Brown, 8 or like 13. Tyreek Hill, 66, 62. It's just not there. Wide receiver ones, they're just not there. Obviously, you're going to start your wide receiver ones, especially guys like Davante Adams, but don't get mad when his production is very, very somber and very, very low, right? L'Jarius Sneed, Trent McDuffie, they've been dynamite. The Chiefs do tend to give up rushing yards. Josh Jacobs could be a play. Aiden O'Connell still the starter moving forward. He's still a rookie. He's still not that great. I don't trust this Raiders defense versus the Chiefs team that hasn't lost back-to-back games with Patrick Mahomes, their starting quarterback, since weeks 2 and 3 in the 2021 season. The Chiefs are 8.5-point favorites on the road in Vegas. So I don't know if I can trust Davante Adams to give you that spark. I don't know if I can trust Josh Jacobs to really be that productive. I see this game being one of those break the chains free for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, maybe that's a little bit of bias. Maybe that's what we want to see in Kansas City, and we'll talk more about this game in after hours from 10 to noon. As for the Chiefs, I love me some Isaiah Pacheco this week. Love me some IP. I think they're going to use him more often. They're coming off the bye. They are without Kadarius Toney and Mecole Hardman. Neither one of those guys is playing. Richie James will probably be activated and on the roster today. He was active last week, just didn't dress. He was a healthy and active last week. This week, they kind of run out of options. But this is a good week to kind of keep your eye on Rashee Rice coming off a loss, trying to get this offense back to the way it needs to be, trusting someone to be there, especially with Toney and Hardman out. Look for Rashee Rice to have anywhere from like 4.5 to 5 catches today for about 40 to 50 yards, in my opinion. But what this means without those two guys, they're going to try to do their best to lean on Travis Kelce, who is super due for an explosion breakout game. We know the retirement talks have been there. The double team talks have been there. Now there's no wide receivers really available outside of MVS, Rashee Rice, Sky Moore. You don't trust those guys, but you do trust in Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce to kind of put something together against a Raiders team in which Travis Kelce is more often than not always successful against. But again, Chiefs 8.5-point favorites. Not sure how much I love that, but a good thing to keep an eye on Max Crosby. If he's out, Mahomes gets more time. They can then run the ball a little bit more effectively, and it gets Travis Kelce a little bit more time to get open versus a lot of double teams. Chiefs Raiders 325. You can hear that on 106.5 The Wolf, and you can hear pregame and postgame here on 610 Sports Radio. That's the 3 o'clock games. 7:20 game, Baltimore at the Chargers. Ravens are 3-point favorites on the road. Is this a trap game? I don't believe in trap games, but this is a tough one. Beckham and Zay Flowers, both questionable but likely to play, both kind of banged up. I love Gus Edwards this week. I love me some Gus Edwards. This is one of those games where it's one of two storylines will develop. Baltimore slips and falls to a Chargers team that was trying to get it back on the winning side of things, or LAC is cooked. Brandon Staley is gone. If Baltimore blows the Chargers out, who have the worst defense in football outside of maybe the Broncos, maybe not anymore, but numbers-wise, the Chargers are terrible on defense. Their head coach, the defensive coordinator, I don't know if this is a game in which if they get blown out, he survives Monday. He may not make it to Cyber Monday, Brandon Staley, that is. But if Baltimore does lose this game, Chiefs fans are hoping for, then we've got a serious discussion to be had. I love Gus Edwards. I feel like Isaiah Likely is a must start as Mark Andrews has been put on the injured reserve, probably done, if not already done for the season. I think that's a fact. He broke a bone in his leg, let's be honest. But Isaiah Likely will fill in that role for Mark Andrews, depending on where Odell Beckham Jr. and Zay Flowers are when it comes to being banged up. We'll see what they can do. As for the Chargers, their best chance is setting the tone early with Austin Ekeler because the Ravens do give up rushing yards on the ground. Baltimore is third in the league versus the pass, and they give up 104 on the ground. Look for the Chargers to really use somebody like a, you know, Austin Eckler, who's their rock, their leader, 1,000-yard rusher, big-time catcher. Austin Eckler, big-time play. Keenan Allen, obviously a play. But again, outside of Allen and outside of Eckler, I mean, that's it. Justin Herbert, we'll see how this matchup goes. Baltimore's defense knows how to get to the quarterback and often. Final matchup of the game or of the week, Monday night, Bears versus Vikings. This one's got a little bit of juice to it. No Deontay Foreman. Fields ran last week when he finally came back from the injury. It looked like that's what they need to do to be successful for their offense, to have some sort of positive change. Let Justin Fields run. Let him run. It's fine. Minnesota, 3-point favorites in this game. You got to love Justin Fields being back if you're a DJ Moore owner. Khalil Herbert obviously will get the start over an injured Deontay Foreman. So you like that if you kind of stashed Khalil Herbert over the past. He's the man in the backfield for the Chicago Bears against the Minnesota Vikings. The Minnesota Vikings also seem to do well versus the run, but giving up a silent 94 a game to running backs, that's eighth best, but they're going up against a quarterback who can do it all when it comes to legs and arms. We just haven't seen it being fully trusted in that mess of a Chicago system. I think you should start Romeo Doubs. Not Romeo Doubs, Josh Doubs. Romeo Doubs should have started on Thursday, but Josh Doubs this week. Look, he runs and he ain't afraid to sling it either. He slings the pigskin and he runs with his legs. Jordan Addison also there. TJ Hockenson also there. Justin Jefferson, you're almost there, everybody. You're almost there. Questionable for Monday night's game. Probably won't play. Leaning towards missing, but could be back. If he is back, playoff push. You'll love to see that for Double J in that offense. But Josh Doubs, 5 straight weeks as the starting quarterback with a rushing touchdown. And 6 passing touchdowns to go with 3 interceptions. I think you could stream him in daily. I think you could plug and play him in every single day week of fantasy football until it just shuts off completely. But it's a poor Bears defense on a Monday night. And Minnesota, like I said, is home in the dome. Doubs has been great for the Minnesota Vikings. That wraps up all of our matchups coming up on the other side. 913-586-7610. I'll get to as many questions as I can as they're starting to file in on the Chase Southland Tow Service text line. Again, that number, 913-586-7610. You're listening to a Fantasy Football Sunday brought to you by Twin Peaks. Each drink, scenic views. This is 610 Sports Radio. Final segment here on a Fantasy Football Sunday brought to you by Twin Peaks. Each drink, scenic weeks, scenic views. I don't know what the hell I'm saying right now. Too much coffee. Twin Peaks, East Drinks, Scenic Views. That's who sponsors this show every Sunday from 9 to 10 a.m. This is a Fantasy Football Sunday. Jay Beagley in the house. He'll join us at around 11:30 as we dive into what is Chiefs Raiders. Your questions, 913-586-7610. Josh Downs or Ford for my flex. I like Ford, man. I like Cleveland to use the ball on the ground against Denver. I see Russ struggling against that defensive front, so I really like Ford this week. I know he and Kareem Hunt are a handcuffed backfield, but again, I'm not mad about either one of those, but I would go Ford as a flex. From the 913, how do you feel about an MVS get back? Look, I'll say this. Obviously, you would never roster or start MVS on any sort of fantasy football roster, but what's one thing we know about Andy Reid? Andy Reid, when you have a mess up or you have, you know, maybe something that could cause like, you know, a nagging sort of mental blockage, he's going to find you quickly, right? When they got Kadarius Toney on the roster, the first game they did was throw him a bubble screen to the outside. When somebody drops the ball, they'll throw it to him really honestly right after that, the very next play. So I think they're going to find MVS, right? Like, I'd love to know what his over is on catches or receptions. I bet it's 3.5. And I bet the first play of the game is a run. The second play is a run. And then I bet there's a drag to MVS or Travis Kelce on the very next play. You can't let it haunt you. From the 913, Dusty, just like the witch in Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Miles Garrett in gray sweatpants haunts my dreams. It is very scary. I don't know why he decided to do that. I mean, I know why. But yeah, you get it. Dusty, despite losing Burrow, Jefferson, and Waller, I still find myself in second place thanks to some moves and mistakes. Got A.J. Brown with the 23rd pick. any under-the-radar running backs or wide receivers you think I can add this late to bolster those spots? I mean, you're going to get Justin Jefferson back in a couple weeks. As for a tight end, go look at those Green Bay tight ends, right? They lost Musgrave for 4 weeks, and the backup this week caught the touchdown for them against the Lions. But good for you for being in second place with all that adversity. As for running backs, sneak running backs, I mean, Singletary, maybe. I know Damian Pierce is back, so you kind of got to have to, you know, think about that as well. Happy first snow day to you, Dust, man. Always appreciate the advice. Got a flex question, PPR. Hollywood Brown, Amari Cooper, Najee Harris, Drake London. Amari Cooper. I mean, they're playing a beat-up Cincinnati, or they're playing Denver, backup quarterback, DTR, going to throw it to Amari Cooper. I like Jaylen Warren over Najee Harris. Drake London's in that messed up offense in Atlanta, and Hollywood Brown kind of got a tender heel, so I like Amari Cooper when it comes to that. So that's my advice for you. The music's playing in the background. You can hear the boss as we will queue up after hours. We're on from 10 till midnight. Man, this has been a rough morning. We're on from 10 until 12. Jay Binkley will join us at 11:30. We'll dive into Chiefs Raiders action here on the other side. This has been a fantasy football show brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views. After hours next on 610 Sports Radio.